Well, we have been looking at the life of Joseph here the last few weeks, and we are going to continue to do that. We're actually going to back up a little bit, and we're going to talk about character. We're going to look at this temptation of Joseph, when Joseph was tempted before Potiphar's wife. And we know that Joseph withstood that temptation. He did not give in to that temptation of being with Potiphar's wife. She wanted to be with him, but he did not give in. And the question I have is why? Why didn't he give in? And the obvious answer is he had a character, right? He was a man of character. But why was he a man of character? Was that something he just, you know, pulled out of a fortune cookie? You shall have character. Or was it something that was instilled in him? Was it something that he got over a period of time? Well, that's the question I want to answer this morning. Is where do we get character? When is it made? And when does it count? And if you look on the back of the bulletin there, yeah, you might have already seen the notes, and you might think we'll be here all afternoon. We might. I don't know. It's a good thing we brought the food, right? Because we can go as long as we need to, because the food's right back there. No, we won't be too long. And of course, that's a pretty relative term too, but we're going to go ahead and look at some of these things that formed Joseph's character. And I want you to be thinking, as we go through this list, of what are some of the areas in your life where you formed character, where you recognize the difference between good and evil, and you desired the good and chose the good and not the evil. You know, we don't have an account of Joseph's entire life. We have some highlights, especially of Jacob's life. But I think we can see some examples of where the character was built in Joseph. And I think it can be an example for us, not only as we build character into our own life, but also as we go about instilling character into our children. So I would look at a couple of these examples. One is the question is when was character made in Joseph's life? One could be when he saw his father react to injustice. When he saw his father react to injustice. You know, today we see injustice all over the place. And Joseph had an example of his father in Genesis chapter 31. It says, "So Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field to his flock. And he said to them, 'I see your father's countenance, that it is not favorable toward me as before. But the God of my father has been with me, and you know that with all my might I have served your father. Yet your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. But God did not allow him to hurt me. And if he said thus, 'The speckled shall be your wages,' then all the flocks bore speckled. And if he said thus, 'The streaked shall be your wages,' then all the flocks bore streaked. And so God has taken away the livestock of your father and given them to me. And it happened at the time when the flocks conceived that I lifted up my eyes and I saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped upon the flocks were streaked and speckled and gray spotted." Joseph was alive when this happened. Joseph saw his father being mistreated. He saw that. And he saw how his father reacted in giving the best that he could. He was not mistreated and said, "Oh, I'm not going to try very hard now." He says, "You know that I have done the best that I can and how I have treated your father." And God saw that. And God interacted and gave Jacob, the flocks of Laban. So we see that Joseph would have developed character as he watched his father deal with injustice. We also see that he would have seen how his father trusted God to protect his family. When Joseph and his family and Jacob, his father, was going back, as God told him, to the land that his family was from, and he had to face Esau, right? Jacob had to face Esau, and Esau hated Jacob. And Joseph was there. He saw the whole thing happen, right? As they came closer and Joseph separated the two into different groups, or Jacob separated the two groups, Joseph was there. He saw it. And he saw and probably even heard Jacob's prayer to God. It says, "Then the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, 'We came to your brother Esau, and he is also coming to meet you, and 400 men are with him.' So Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that were with him, and the flocks and the herds and the camels into two companies. And he said, 'If Esau comes to the one company and attacks it, then the other company which is left will escape.' And then Jacob said, 'O God, my father Abraham, O God of my father Abraham, and of God of my father Isaac, the Lord who said to me, "Return to your country and to your family, and I will deal well with you. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which you have shown your servant. For I crossed over this Jordan with my staff, and now I have become two companies. Deliver me, I pray, from the hand of my brother, for the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he come and attack me and the mother with the children. For you said, "I will surely treat you well and make your descendants as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for the multitude."'" Joseph would have seen that. Joseph would have been there. He would have seen that his father trusted God. He did not run away, but he trusted God. He prayed to God. Joseph would have seen that. He would have built character when he saw how God followed through on his promise to his father. We see that Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him. And they wept. And he lifted his eyes and saw the women and children and said, "Who are these with you?" And he said, "These children whom God has graciously given your servant." The maidservants came near, they and their children, and bowed down. And Leah also came near with her children, they bowed down. And afterward Joseph and Rachel came near, and they bowed down. And Esau said, "What do you mean by all of this company which I met?" And he said, "These are to find favor in your sight." And Esau said, "I have enough money, keep what you have." And Jacob said, "No, God has been very good and blessed me." And so he urged him, and he took it. Joseph would have seen with his own eyes how God kept his promise to take care of Jacob. He also would have seen the pain that was endured by his family when, after they settled in the land, his older sister Leah, or his older sister Dinah, was raped. In chapter 34, it says, "Now Dinah, the daughter of Leah, whom she had borne to Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. And when the Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, he took her and lay with her and violated her. And his soul was strongly attracted to Dinah, the daughter of Jacob, and he loved the young woman, and he spoke kindly to the young woman. And so Shechem spoke to his father Hamor, saying, 'Get me this young woman as a wife.'" And we see the conclusion of that. In verse 25 through 31, it says, "Now it came to pass on the third day, when they were in pain, that two of the sons," they had been agreed to be circumcised, and they were circumcised, the men were circumcised, "two of the sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brothers, each took his sword and came boldly upon the city and killed all the males. And they killed Hamor and Shechem, his son, with the edge of the sword, and took Dinah from Shechem's house and went out. And the sons of Jacob came upon the slain and plundered the city, because their sister had been defiled. And they took their sheep and their oxen and their donkeys and what was in the city and what was in the field, and all of the wealth and all of their little ones and their wives they took captive, and they plundered even all that was in the houses. And Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, you have troubled me by making me obnoxious among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites and the Perizzites. And since I am few in number, they will gather themselves together against me and kill me, and I shall be destroyed, my household and I. And they said, should he treat our sister like a harlot? Now, clearly, we could say that their reaction to what this man did to their sister was not correct. But Joseph would have been there. He would have seen the pain that was caused by this sexual rape, by this person who came into their family and violated their sister. He would have seen the pain that was caused. And he might have determined, I will not be a part of that. You know, I can personally remember when my mother found out about one of my siblings who was having an inappropriate sexual relationship. And I can remember that very well because I was the one who told her. And I saw her heart break and shatter. And I saw her weep. And I can tell you, I determined that I would not do that. Witnessing that has a tremendous impact on a young man. He would have seen that that pain that caused. He would have also seen how his family thereafter purified themselves as God called them to come and worship him. God said to Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there and make an altar there to God who appeared to you when you fled from the face of Esau, your brother. And Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, put away the foreign gods that are among you, purify yourselves and change your garments, and let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make an altar there to God who answered me in the day of my distress and has been with me in the way which I have gone. And so they gave Jacob all the foreign gods which were in their hands and the earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the tree which was by Shechem. Joseph would have seen how important it was to purify yourself before God. He would have saw those people as they came to worship God in that place, how they feared the people on God's behalf. It says in verse 35, chapter 35, verse 5, that they journeyed and the terror of God was upon the cities that were all around them, and they did not pursue the sons of Jacob. Joseph would have seen this. He was there. He testified to this. He would have seen the power of God to protect a small family in the midst of many cities. And then when God appeared to Jacob again, Genesis 35, 9 through 15 says, then God appeared to Jacob again when he came from Paddan Aram and blessed him. And God said to him, your name is Jacob, but you shall not be called Jacob anymore, but Israel shall be your name. So he called his name Israel. And God said to him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall proceed from you, and kings shall come from your body. The land which I gave Abraham and Isaac I give to you and to your descendants after you. And I give this land. And then God went up from in that place where he talked with him. And so Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, a pillar of stone. And he poured out a drink offering on it, and he poured oil on it. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spoke with him, Bethel. Joseph would have seen this. He might have been standing right there beside his father. He might have been in the presence of God. His character would have been developed when he experienced the death of his mother and grandpa. His mother died giving birth to his youngest brother. And shortly thereafter, his grandfather died as well. His character might have been developed as he saw that he was a favorite child of his father. In Genesis 37, it says, "Now Israel loved Joseph more than all of his children, because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a tunic of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably with him." And I'm guessing that Joseph would have spent many times and many days with his father. And his father would have told him the stories of how God had been faithful and had kept him in his way and had blessed him. Maybe Joseph's character was developed when he was given special dreams. It says in verse 9 through 11 of chapter 37 that he dreamed still another dream, and he told his brothers and said, "Look, I have dreamed another dream. And this time the sun and the moon and the 11 stars," which he had 11 brothers, "bowed down to me." And he told it to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you?" And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind. You know, as we see Joseph go through all of these different trials of being sold into slavery, of being falsely accused. How you doing, buddy? Of being falsely accused, of trying to pursue Potiphar's wife, of being tossed into jail, and then rising up to be Pharaoh's second in command. As we see Joseph go through all of these different things, we know from the result that Joseph was not a bitter person. He was not an angry person. Today we see so many people in the world tell us that your problems are not your fault. You are a victim of this. You are a victim of that. You are a victim of this. And as long as you believe that, you will never amount to anything, because you will not take responsibility for your own life and your own actions. But Joseph did not do that. His mind was set on God. And in Isaiah, it says, in chapter 26, verse 3, it says, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you." When we put our faith and trust in God, and we do not allow our mind to wander onto things that it shouldn't, God keeps us in peace. It is when our mind wanders off of God that we begin to fear and doubt and be troubled. And that is what James says in chapter 1. It says, "But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. And then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death." Joseph would have built character as he kept his mind focused on his trust in God. As he was walking to Egypt behind this slave cart, he could have thought about a myriad of things, and nobody would blame him. He could have been determined to do nothing, to amount to nothing, in protest. But he didn't. He did quite the opposite, as a matter of fact. He kept a good attitude. He worked hard for those who owned him as a slave, even though he had been a free man and kidnapped or falsely sold into slavery. He worked hard. He had a good attitude. He rose up to leadership positions. He was not he probably was tempted, but he did not give in to those desires. He kept his mind trusting in God, because he had built up character through the experience of walking through life. He trusted God. And that is why Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 4, Verse 8, it says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are of just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things, because what we think about determines what we believe. And what we believe determines what we do. And what we do determines who we are." Thomas Jefferson said, "Do you want to know who you are? Don't think about it, or don't ask. Act. Your actions delineate and define you. Your actions are determined by your belief, and your belief is determined by your thoughts, and your thoughts are your choice." So the question is, how have you seen character develop in your life? And how has your relationship with God or trust in God affected your character development? And maybe you could just toss out some examples of where in your life have you seen character developed? Was it in a mentorship relationship? Was it through personal experience? I'm interested in what you guys have to say. Where did you see your greatest development in character? Yeah. All of a sudden you have a lot of responsibility, right? You got to step up the game. Yes. It does have a tremendous impact. Where else? And who are some of those people in your life, Donna? Wonderful. What about that next question? How has your relationship with God or trust in God affected your character development? Have you found it easier to develop character when you are close to God? And have you found it harder to develop character when you are in disobedience to God? Would that be an accurate depiction of your experience? Which certainly is mine. Let's move on for the sake of time. And I want to get to this part because this is what we've been setting up here. Joseph has went through his life and he has built up this character in his life. He knows what he believes. He knows who he believes. And now Joseph is going to have the greatest test of character that he has ever had. And you might think being sold into slavery would be a great test of character, and I'm sure it is. But he passed that test. And now he has risen up into leadership position. Genesis 39 says, "Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And so Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. And then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put under his authority. So it was from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. And thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had, except for the bread which he ate. What a tremendous testimony that God would bless somebody because of his servant. That servant's character was so well developed, so well refined, that God would bless the master of the house. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph. And she said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Look, my master does not know what is with me in the house. And he has committed all that he has unto my hand. And there is no one greater in this house than I. Nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" That is a profound insight. Because we would think, how could he sin against Potiphar? Right? We would think, how could he do that against Potiphar? But what did Joseph say? "How could I do this thing against God?" He was convinced that God was his God, and that he was following him, and that he would not do anything that would affect his relationship with God. And so it was, as she spoke to Joseph, day by day, that he did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her. But it happened about this time when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was inside, that she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand, and he fled, and he ran outside. And so it was that when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and fled outside, that she called to the men of her house and spoke to them, saying, "See, he has brought into us a Hebrew to mock us. He came into me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. And it happened, when he heard that I lifted my voice and cried out, that he left his garment with me and fled and went outside." So we know this was a lie, but it was a lie that she repeated to her husband. And then her husband had Joseph cast into prison. And of course, in prison, Joseph again rose up, even to run the prison. But Joseph showed an amazing amount of character. Because so many men that we see today, even Christian men, even Christian pastors, struggle with sexual purity. Many Christian women struggle with sexual purity. Because we have not built up that character. We have not built up that relationship with God where we would say, "How could I do this great wickedness against God?" But I do want to ask you these questions because I think they're very important. What did Joseph do right in these situations? When we listen to this story, when we look at this story, what did Joseph do right? He kept his faith in God. Okay, he kept his eyes focused on God. That's true. What else did he do right? Okay, he had a morality or a sense of ethics about what was right and wrong. Okay? And when he was in this situation where this woman was coming to him, whether it was casting these eyes to him, saying, lie with me, or when she was actually physically grabbing him and saying, lie with me, what did he do in those situations that was good? He fled. In this last instance, he fled. Other instances, it says he refused, right? He just kept refusing. It says she spoke to Joseph day by day, and he did not heed her. What else did he do that was good, if anything? Ultimately, the greatest thing he did was he did not give in to temptation, right? Let's move on to the next question. What did he do wrong, or what could he have done better in these situations? Any ideas? Brought it up to the boss. Possibility. Also could have been a possibility where as a slave he would not be believed, right? But the Bible says that this man had tremendous respect for Joseph, so that would be a possibility. Okay, what's another thing he could have done, or what did he do wrong or could have done better? Make sure he was not alone. Yeah, that creates a lot of opportunity, doesn't it? And that was especially noted in verse 11. It said it happened about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was inside. You know, the other interesting thing was that Joseph was over everyone. The only person that Joseph did not command was the wife, right? So Joseph did not have to go into the house, right? He could have sent somebody else into the house. Or certainly he could have had somebody come with him. Right? And so here we see an example of Joseph. Even though he was pure, he did not have good habits. He did not have good habits of protecting his integrity. In today's culture, that is a must. The Bible says that we should abstain even from the appearance of evil. And so what are some helpful guidelines to ensure that we do not compromise our character? And I would say one of them is got to be to make sure that we do not have men and women alone together. You know, Mike Pence, he was really railroaded in the media a while back for saying that he does not go out with women alone, right? He's not going to be in a car with a woman alone, or he's not going to go to lunch with a woman alone. And the media said, oh, you're so old-fashioned, right? And now we have all this Me Too movement where we have all these guys who are willing to go out and do about anything with a woman, and they're being vilified now. Because what they do is wrong and they have no character. And so we must raise up men and women of integrity and character that have a wherewithal about them that not only do they not sin, but they also recognize the situations when there is temptation. And that will allow them to not be put in this situation where they are left with a garment in the hand of a woman and she can say, this guy came after me. So I would strongly encourage us to think about this situation and to do some character development in our own lives. Talk with your spouse about some rules that you can develop to make sure you have purity in your own life. Maybe if there's an area that you struggle with purity, whether it be pornography or sexual purity of other kinds, or in other areas of your life, find an accountability partner. Find someone who will come alongside you and walk with you and help you fight that battle for purity. Because God is very concerned about purity in your life. As Joseph found out as he walked with his father, God is very concerned about purity. And he loves you. He wants to walk with you. He wants to be with you and bless you as he did Joseph. But we also have to be concerned about purity. We also have to be concerned about sinning against God. Because he will not bless us if we are not concerned about these things. He will discipline us. Let us pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, you have given us a tremendous example in the life of Joseph. Lord, as we are going to continue seeing how you're going to work in his life and save an entire nation and nations of people through his work. Lord, that he is going to be one of the greatest people in all of the governments of his time. And he alone, through your help and your guidance, will be responsible for the saving of thousands and thousands and thousands of lives. Lord, we recognize that it is Joseph's character and your spirit working in his life that allowed him to be such a great useful tool for your work. Lord, that Joseph would not be able to rise to the place that he rose if it wasn't for his positive attitude, for his keeping his mind focused and trusting on you, for the purity that he kept in his life, for the work ethic, for the responsibility that he took for himself. Lord, trusting that you would make things right in the end. And you did. Lord, we can see in this example of Joseph how we are to conduct our own affairs. Lord, that we are to walk in right in alignment with you, in right way with you, and we can have that because of your son's blood that was shed for us. But in receiving his death on the cross, Lord, we can have a relationship with you, but then we must also dedicate ourselves to walking in purity. Lord, that we might have the blessings that Joseph experienced. Lord, in being brought up, yes, he was humbled, but in due time he was brought up with tremendous responsibility and tremendous glory. But Lord, he used that glory to care for so many people. Lord, I pray that you would rise up in this congregation here today, people who would stay focused on you. They would not waver in their trust. Even as they experience tribulation, even as they go through the tough things in life that we all experience, Lord, that they would not waver in their commitment. Lord, we think of Courtney and Oakley as they dedicated themselves to you today. Lord, I pray that they would not waver in that commitment, that they would not allow doubt to enter into their mind, but they would stay steadfast and remain steadfast in their trust in you. And Lord, that you might raise them up to do wonderful and mighty things because you have a great love for us. And not only them, but each and every one here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.